And I know Barry's been talking at least in part about miracles. Who believes in miracles? Yeah. Hello, Ethel. How are you? Awesome. Andrew? Young man? Good to see you. That's awesome. Fantastic. All right. So I want to talk to you this morning. The wine is coming. We got the I think we should have the... Yeah, here we go. Oh, look, we've even got bubbles. All right. Hopefully that's water. But anyway, the wine is coming. It's no secret that Nigel likes to indulge in a glass of wine, okay? Just to get started. So I'm just... But this is more than just a glass of wine. This is going to change your life this morning. Who knows that the Word of God can change your life? And so, say it with me, the wine is? So every now and then, if you really like what I'm saying, you're allowed to shout out, because I like it. I like it when you help me. Can you help me this morning? And say, the wine is? The wine is? All right, okay. So let's read the... Better read a passage of scripture to get started, just because we don't want to be too wine focused. We want to be God focused and spirit focused this morning. So let's have a look at this in the New Living Translation. It's John 2, isn't it? Verse 1 to 11. So I'll read it to you for the sake of time. The next day, there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities. So Jesus' mother told him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, that's not our problem," Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." But his mother told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Standing nearby were six stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons, and Jesus told the servants, "Fill the jars with water." When the jars have been filled, he said, "Now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies." So the servants followed his instructions. When the master of ceremonies tasted the water, that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though of course the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. "A host always serves the best wine first," he said. "Then, when everyone has had a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine. But you have kept the best until now." This miraculous sign of Cana in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Does anyone believe in Jesus this morning? And so everything Jesus did, the raising of Lazarus, Jairus' daughter healed, I mean, he was, you know, there was so many miracles, lepers that were healed, 10 lepers, you know, there's so many stories, a paralytic that was lowered through a roof. It all began at a party. Who likes to have a party? And I think God wanted to say that, hey, I'm no party pooper. I want us to enjoy our life. And it all began at a party. Think about that. His first miracle was turning the water into wine. Can we believe in miracles today, church? See, when Jesus comes to your party, it's going to be a game changer. It can be looking bleak. But God. John 2 verse 3, the wine supply ran out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother spoke to him about the problem, they have no more wine. In Middle Eastern culture, this was a complete crisis. You did not run out of wine, and particularly at a wedding. Because the wedding had lost its wine. The wedding was in crisis. Pastor Phil Pringle, the president of C3 Global, which I happened to listen to a podcast this week, C3 Global around the world now has 600 locations. You are one of those. Give yourselves a hand. He says this, "People will tell you they don't believe in God, but their theology changes when they are in need of a miracle for themselves or someone close to them." Yes. when there is a crisis, the best thing that you and I can do is let Jesus in. There are many weddings in this category today. Who's married here today? I'm married, got my hand up. Oh, about 30% of the people are married. That's cool. There are many weddings in this category today. The wedding has lost their wine. Weddings that had joy, laughter and excitement, but it's all gone. The enthusiasm is gone. The thrill of each other is gone. The wedding remains, but the excitement is gone. It just may be that this story has far more going on than at first glance. And wine was an essential part of the diet in the ancient world. And drinking wine symbolized peace and prosperity. Psalm 104 is all about praising the Lord. And one of the verses, verse 15, says this: "You allow them," talking about God, "to produce food from the earth, wine to make them glad. Olive oil as lotion for their skin and bread to give them strength." Let's just look at that: wine to make them glad. Except the wine at this wedding had run out. It may be today that there are things in your life that have run out of wine. And I want to say this morning that I don't believe it's any accident that Jesus used this particular miracle as the first miracle he did, and that God wants to bring joy back into your life. That God wants to change the situation that you're facing right now, because he is a supernatural God. Because he is extraordinary in doing things that you don't think he would do, because that's not God, but God's bigger than you, so we can't argue with what he's going to do. And so I believe this story is far more than just a refueling for a fantastic finish to a party. And careful you and I don't lose our joy in what we are doing. We can have the house, the car, the boat, the clothes, the work, the church, the friends, the family, but the joy of life has faded. And this story is just about an amazing, not just about an amazing finish to a wedding reception that had gone terribly wrong. It's a story that each and every one of us will be familiar with. It's about whom we are really following in our life. And you don't have to look too far in our world to recognize the joy, the hope, the thrill of life has waned for many. So what do you do when your wedding has run out of wine? What do you do when your job has run out of wine? What do you do when your life has run out of wine? And the truth is, if we're honest with ourselves, you and I have faced this reality when we are just turning up where we need to be, but we are not really engaged. We're not really excited as we used to be. Maybe you had an exciting plan for your life and something derailed it. Now you are just going through the motions. You turn up at work, but that's only because that's where you work. You can come home from work because that's where you go home. You go to church because that's what you do, but there's nothing going on for you like there was at one time. And the Bible says the wedding has lost its wine. What do you do? Something that should be good, happy, has become mundane, ritualistic, just routine. I think it was fantastic this morning. I walked in and everyone's eating pancakes. And I thought, wow, what a great idea. And I think you've got to be excited about what we do and who Jesus is in our life. Let's keep the excitement however we can. Let's change it up a bit. Let's do something different. Because if not, who believes that God is important in our life? And so this is the thing. So I can summarize it pretty quickly for you. That, you know, why, you know, if you have a conversation with, if you're a married person like me, and you know, you feel like the joy's run out of the marriage. I know what guys are thinking about, and I know what women are thinking about, and it's not what guys are thinking about. It's exactly, it's like, oh, can we have a deep and meaningful, and maybe we can have some romance as well. And you know, but you know, the thing is, what am I trying to say here? But maybe they've both run out of wine. And what about solo parents? working, looking after the children all the time. When they get home from work, helping them with the homework. God bless all the solo parents. Let's give them a hand this morning. It can be wearisome, right? You can run out of wine. Who knows that life's fairly mundane? No, you're not sure. Okay. You know, well, you've got to do the same things over and over again. It's part of life. And so what about applying for this job and that? And it feels utterly hopeless for you. You've run out of wine. And Mary comes running up to Jesus. This is Jesus' mum. Like the world's about to end. And the truth is, that is how we feel if we have run out of wine. Mary knew what she had been celebrated, amazing, beautiful, wonderful, and now it had become awful. Mary says to Jesus, they've run out of wine. And Jesus says, how does that concern you and me? My time has not yet come. That's a bit strange, isn't it? You know, that's just, yeah, it wasn't what I would have thought that he would have responded with. Anyway, Mary, his mother, does not tell him what to do. And Mary does not even answer his question. She doesn't speak to him again. But what Mary does do is quite remarkable. Mary turns to the servants and says, whatever he tells you, do it. Whatever he tells you, whatever he tells you. It may sound ridiculous. It may look crazy. It might even defy logic, but just do it. The wine is
coming.
I'm glad I got the front row this morning. Let's try that one more time. The wine is
coming.
All right. Here's the thing. Jesus has not even come close to telling his mother he would do the miracle, yet she had enough faith to believe. Does anyone have faith here this morning? You see, she had enough faith to believe that if I ask you to do it, he's going to do something. And Mary knew that if God is going to do anything, then he is going to do it through Jesus. Who knows that if anything good's going to happen, it's going to happen because it's going through Jesus. And there's a lot of different thoughts out there that, you know, who God is. But if it's not involving the centrality of the cross and what Jesus did for us, then it's not God. We are fully engaged because Jesus is the central focus of our lives. And so do whatever he says. She says to the servants, do whatever he says. Can we believe for miracles today at C3 Wellard?
Yes.
You and I have got to get involved in this. Your miracle is not going to happen whilst you sit and pray. It's good to sit and pray, but the miracle's not going to happen that way. It's not going to happen whilst you lay in bed worrying. It's not even going to happen because you need a miracle. Your miracle is going to happen because you are getting involved. And they have no more wine. How does that concern me? Jesus did not say to Mary, yes, I'm on that. I'll get to that, Mum, straight away. And Mary didn't say, this is what you need to do, son. However, what she did do was to say to the servants, get ready. Get ready. Turn to your neighbor, get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Whatever he tells you to do, just do it. And so it's not going to happen whilst you're worried about what is right now. And the truth is, Jesus had to get rid of a lot of emotional people before he could pray a miracle into being. He had to remove those of unbelief who only saw what was rather than what could be. Can we be the kind of people that we see through the what is and what the reality to who Jesus is and what he can do? See, there was this time where Jesus had to, it was actually Jairus' daughter, and she died. And he said to the people, no, she's just sleeping. And they laughed. And so he got rid of all the people that had unbelief, and he only took the parents and a couple of disciples into the room, and he prayed, and she rose again. Can we be those kind of people at C3 Wellard? God works through our doing. And Mary knew God worked through Jesus, and Mary knew that it was through the expectation that Jesus would change the situation. There is nothing more difficult than an atmosphere where all the lights have gone out. If you lose your expectation, you lose your potential for a miracle. Is anyone expecting God to move this morning? Come on. Can we actually put faith? When you say something, it engages your faith and you start to believe more than you did without saying anything. Does anyone believe that God can do miracles this morning? And so when we say that, it helps us. Helps us engage our, Richardson Neek's in church this morning. My old mate from years ago and his lovely wife. I remember praying for Richardson Neek when he'd had a terrible time with his heart and God transformed your life. Isn't that right? You had a supernatural encounter with God. The doctors were saying you're gone. I remember going in that room and your son came and we prayed for you. Incredible healing power of God, and they couldn't believe that he turned around. It's the power of God. How many years ago was that now, Richard? 2012. 7 years ago. God's not finished yet, is he, Richard? And the grace of God is amazing, hey? So good. So good. If you lose your expectation, it's harder to get a miracle. Don't ever get into a mindset of expectation that nothing is going to happen. I've prayed for people and I've believed that God's touched them. I can feel the power of God. And then they say to me, I better go to the doctor and see what I need to do next. Just believe in God. And I know that doctors help, and I'm not saying we don't go to the doctors, but let's just believe for a moment that God can change the situation. We can expect something to happen in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ today. If the enemy can take your expectation from you, a wedding without wine, a house but no home, a marriage without love, a life without joy, feeling like you've got no friends, I'm here to tell you today that the devil is a liar. So can we say a statement today together? I'll help you. Here we go. I know life has more for me than this. And I know God did not deliver me, save me, to settle for this. I will never accept it. The devil is a liar. Put a bit of meaning into it. The devil is a liar. The devil's a liar. Mary said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And then she went about her business. Can I say this from personal experience and from the Word of God is saying, God says, walk away, it's already done. God's already doing stuff. You know, you don't have to keep telling him the same thing over and over, nagging him. God's got it. And so when we put an offer on C3 Wellard, thank you, Barry, for that lovely introduction this morning. I didn't need it, but thank you. When we put an offer on C3 Wellard, let me tell you, we thought it was going to be fairly straightforward because we knew we had plenty of collateral with C3 Fremantle. Well, we ended up going to 9 different banks and even went through a mortgage broker, a good friend of mine, and the 9 banks said, no, you can't do it. I got the mortgage broker onto it, and he said, I don't know why, but they won't allow you to increase your loan at C3 Fremantle to cover this facility. And I just knew in my spirit that God wanted to have a building for C3 Wellard. But everything looked negative. You understand? 9 banks, my own mate, my mortgage broker going, oh, I don't know how it's going to happen, but he's a numbers man, you know? And then there's people that, you know, I've got, like Barry said, I've got to go, well, God, we're on the edge here. What are you going to do? You know when there's nothing else to do, that God comes through for you. Yeah. And so I had this thought in my head one night, go back to the original bank where you had your loan and just negotiate with them and you'll get somewhere. So I went back to the original bank, the same lady that I dealt with only 2 months ago, who had said categorically, no, you will not be able to extend your mortgage 1 cent. And that's why we got a mortgage broker involved and went to all these different banks. I went back to this, like this is 2 months later, and started talking about the deal and this is what I think we could do. And she said, yeah, I think we can make that happen. And the next day we signed the paperwork. How does that happen? That's a miracle, right? You've got to see that God changes situations and circumstances. He's an amazing God. Anyone glad that we have a facility this morning? I wouldn't mind if we turned the air down just a fraction, if that's okay, because I'm cooking. Thanks, Arnold. That'd be awesome. So, Jesus, this is really interesting. Jesus did not speak to the servants about wine. He spoke to them about water. You ask God for wine, it comes back as water. Did you hear what I said, Jesus? Does anyone know where I'm coming from this morning? Did you hear what I said, Jesus? What I was praying? I asked you to help in this specific area and you answered with something else. John 2:6, six stone water pots were standing there. They were used for Jewish ceremonial purposes and held 20 to 30 gallons each. Now those pots you have been using for ceremonial washing must become the place of miracles. If you do not use this church for more than religious ceremony or duty, you are going to miss your miracle. Who knows that you can't put God in a box? Who knows that God's not interested in religion? He wants us to build our faith up and help those of weaker faith and see that by his nature, he is miraculous. You want to come to this place expecting to be transformed by Jesus. And so these pots, let's talk about these for a second. The worship pot. The more you engage and speak out, so your faith will come alive. Does anyone say amen this morning? Amen. The tithe pot. Barry's pretty good on this subject, wouldn't you say? God has given us the principle of tithing to bless us, not take from us. It's sowing and reaping. It's a general principle that God established from the beginning. The prayer pot, nothing on earth is going to be shifted unless we have the wine of prayer in our life. The Bible pot, be grounded in his word and allow his wine to build you up. And the greatest miracles are coming because you and I are consistent in the way we worship Jesus. So Jesus sent the servants to draw water. It's a lot of water. Let me give you some stats. Here we go. It's estimated that all six pots weighed in at 570 kilograms of water alone. So we're talking about 570 litres of water. This was not just turning on a tap and filling up an urn. It took some... They took in Liberia, thank you Susan for being here this morning, I can use this illustration quite well. So it would have been like the old days and they've got a pump and they're pumping. Now there's about 135 litres in each pot. And then they weigh each about 200 kilograms. So there's guys all around the pot and they've got to walk up the stairs back to the reception. And they did this over and over again until they'd filled every single pot. It wasn't just turning on an urn like we do today. This was something that all Mary said, just do whatever he says. I bet you they were saying, oh my goodness, I wish we hadn't listened to Mary. So you will go through a season where you need wine, you've prayed about it, yet God has you handling water. There's no miracle happened here yet. It would be easy to get this miracle if you drew it out of the well and it turned to wine, right? But it was still water. 570, whatever I said, liters of it. And the truth is, it's much easier to have faith carrying the pot, now it's going to turn to wine at the pump, but it's still water. It's water when they draw it, water when they fill it, back and forth, still water. It may seem small right now. Has anyone got faith to believe that God can do something incredible this morning? And even into the future, that this is not just about me, this is about you taking authority in the name of Jesus and seeing things turn around in your life. And so, if you can be faithful in handling water, if you can be faithful in just turning up and doing your serving, if you can be faithful in bringing your kids up in the ways of the Lord, if you can be faithful in so many areas, the little things that you all know the truth. See, the voice of the enemy will always be saying, "Where's your God?" Am I the only one that's ever heard that? What good is God for water? I thought you had a word from God. Back and forth to church, back and forth from Connect Group, back and forth from serving Him, back and forth giving to Him, back and forth reading His Word, even have to go up to C3 Fremantle for a team meeting. Back and forth, back and forth. Lord, we did what you said. Here are all six pots of water. We don't seem to be any better off. Have you thought, does faith really work? Faith will work if you work it. Is anyone prepared to work their faith this morning? In the name of Jesus Christ. See, even when it looks like it is not working, God is up to something. Even if you're going through a dry place in your life, God is up to something. I refuse to doubt God today. Come on, let's say it together. I refuse to doubt God today. I still have that situation, but God. I still have that debt, but God. I still have that trouble in my relationship, but God. And the water was still water. Even when Jesus said to take a goblet to the master of ceremonies, it was still water until he touched it to a lips, and then, woof, it turned to wine. And because I want wine, I will keep doing what God tells me to do. Faith will work if you work it. Even if it looks like it's not working for you, God is up to something. John 2:11, the miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was Jesus' first display of his glory. Of his glory. God has a desire to display his glory in your life. I refuse to doubt God. I'm still in debt, but I'm still not going down. I'm trusting the Lord all the way home. I'm still having relationship problems, but I'm not giving up. I'm giving it over to Christ. And whatever the case, I know that He can work on me even if my partner never changes. I thank you, Lord, that I have you in my life. I still have that condition, but I won't stop praising Him. The wine is... The wine is? Amen. Keep being faithful. God is going to bring his wine. And when it looks like there's no power, when you hang in there with me, boom. Can we believe for miracles in C3 this morning? Can I get you to stand to your feet this morning? You know, I was going to ask the music team, but I think you guys can just stay where you are. Thanks, Crystal. You're good. Awesome. Oh, have we got a keyboard player? That'd be great. Let's just do that. Thanks. Oh, Elta, young man of power. Thank you, Lord. Can we be expectant this morning? Let's just bow our heads for a moment. You know, I'm believing that God's going to change not only your personal situation, but even the atmosphere around C3 Wellart. For I can see that God is building. And I would say that the past was important, but it's gone now. And we are very grateful for what has happened in C3 Wellart and for every person. But I would say to look up, because I am starting something new in your life, and I am going to do something quite remarkable as you look to the future. Because I can see what seems like dysfunction in some ways, but I can see God actually bringing order. And this is in people's lives, but also in leading. And I can see what you may think, oh, I never thought about that person, but God is up to something. And I can see that there are relationships forming here that are going to be the kind that create it, their own momentum. And before you know it, there's that new family coming and there's that person coming. And I can see that God has had his hand in all the works that have gone on thus far. And I pray, Lord, today, the power of the living God. And I thank you, Lord, for who you are. And if nothing else, we will keep praising you till the day we die. Because what else is there? And we love you, Lord, this morning. And maybe you're here today and you've never made a decision for Jesus. Well, I can assure you that his nature is to bring goodness into your life. I can assure you that he is a God of miracles. I can assure you that things can change as you accept him as Lord of your life. And so I want to take a moment before we pray for miracles this morning. That if you haven't received Jesus today, or you know that you've turned your back on God and you'd like to come back today, can I just ask you, in this moment, if you know today, those of us here that have been with God and you know that your relationship is strained right now, but you're here and you go, you know what, I need to engage my faith again. Well, for those of you who have not made a decision publicly,